Listen to these words of Paul. He says, I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who in his love and mercy called you to share the eternal life he gives through Christ. You are already following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who twist and change the truth concerning Christ. These words are so true even today. What is that different way that pretends to be the good news? How is the gospel twisted and changed concerning Christ? Listen in today as we begin the book of Galatians and unpack this to see how this applies to our lives today. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. Today is September 14th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the New Living Translation for the Old Testament and for the New Testament. Deuteronomy 27, 1-10. Then Moses and the leaders of Israel gave this charge to the people. Obey all these commands that I am giving you today. When you cross the Jordan River and enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, set up some large stones and coat them with plaster. Write this whole body of instruction on them when you cross the river to enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. When you cross the Jordan, set up these stones at Mount Ebal and coat them with plaster, as I am commanding you today. Then build an altar there to the Lord your God using natural uncut stones. You must not shape the stones with an iron tool. Build the altar of uncut stones and use it to offer burnt offerings to the Lord your God. Also sacrifice peace offerings on it and celebrate by feasting there before the Lord your God. You must clearly write all these instructions on the stones coated with plaster. Then Moses and the Levitical priests addressed all Israel as follows. O Israel, be quiet and listen. Today you have become the people of the Lord your God. So you must obey the Lord your God by keeping all these commands and decrees that I am giving you today. Isaiah 15, 1-18, 7. This message came to me concerning Moab. In one night, your cities of Ar and Kir will be destroyed. Your people in Dibon will mourn at their temples and shrines, weeping for the fate of Nebo and Medeba. They will shave their heads in sorrow and cut off their beards. They will wear sackcloth as they wander the streets. From every home will come the sound of weeping. The cries from the city of Heshbon and Elalah will be heard far away, even in Jahaz. The bravest warriors of Moab will cry out in utter terror. My heart weeps for Moab. Its people flee to Zoar and Eglath Shalisha. Weeping, they climb the road to Luhith. Their crying can be heard all along the road to Horonaim. Even the waters of Nimrim are dried up. The grassy banks are scorched, and the tender plants are gone. The desperate refugees take only the possessions they can carry and flee across the ravine of willows. The whole land of Moab is a land of weeping from one end to the other, from Elam to Beer Elam. The stream near Dibon runs red with blood, but I am still not finished with Dibon. Lions will hunt down the survivors, both those who try to run and those who remain behind. Moab's refugees at Selah send lambs to Jerusalem as a token of alliance with the king of Judah. The women of Moab are left like homeless birds at the shallow crossings of the Arnon River. Help us, they cry. Defend us against our enemies. Protect us from their relentless attack. Do not betray us. Let our outcasts stay among you. Hide them from our enemies until the terror is past. When oppression and destruction have ceased and enemy raiders have disappeared, then David's throne will be established by love. From that throne, a faithful king will reign, one who always does what is just and right. Is this Moab, the proud land we have heard so much about? Its pride and insolence are all gone now. The entire land of Moab weeps. Yes, you people of Moab, mourn for the delicacies of Kir Hareseth. Weep for the abandoned farms of Heshbon and the vineyards at Sibmah. The wine from those vineyards used to make the rulers of the nations drunk. Moab was once like a spreading grapevine. Her tendrils spread out as far as Jazer and trailed out into the desert. Her shoots once reached as far as the Dead Sea. But now the enemy has completely destroyed that vine. So I wail and lament for Jazer and for the vineyards of Sibmah. My tears will flow for Heshbon and Alela, for their summer fruits and harvests have all been destroyed. Gone now is the gladness. Gone is the joy of harvest. The happy singing in the vineyards will be heard no more. The treading out of grapes in the wine presses has ceased forever. I have ended all their harvest joys. I will weep for Moab. My sorrow for Kir Hareseth will be very great. On the hilltops, the people of Moab will pray in anguish to their idols, but it will do them no good. They will cry to the gods in their temples, but no one will come to save them. The Lord has already said this about Moab in the past, but now the Lord says, within 3 years without fail, the glory of Moab will be ended, and the few of its people will be left alive. This message came to me concerning Damascus. Look, Damascus will disappear. It will become a heap of ruins. The cities of Aroer will be deserted. Sheep will graze in the streets and lie down unafraid. There will be no one to chase them away. The fortified cities of Israel will also be destroyed, and the power of Damascus will end. The few left in Aram will share the fate of Israel's departed glory, says the Lord Almighty. In that day, the glory of Israel will be very dim, for poverty will stalk the land. Israel will be abandoned like the grain fields in the valley of Rephaim after the harvest. Only a few of its people will be left, like the stray olives left on the tree after the harvest. Only two or three remain in the highest branches, four or five out on the tips of the limbs. Yes, Israel will be stripped bare of people, says the Lord, the God of Israel. Then at last the people will think of their Creator and have respect for the Holy One of Israel. They will no longer ask their idols for help or worship what their own hands have made. They will never again bow down to their Asherah poles or burn incense on the altars they built. Their largest cities will be as deserted as overgrown thickets. They will become like the cities the Amorites abandoned when the Israelites came here so long ago. Why? Because you have turned from the God who can save you, the rock who can hide you. You may plant the finest imported grapevines, and they may grow so well that they blossom on the very morning you plant them, but you will never pick any grapes from them. Your only harvest will be a load of grief and incurable pain. Look, the armies rush forward like waves thundering toward the shore. But though they roar like breakers on a beach, God will silence them. They will flee like chaff scattered by the wind or dust whirling before a storm. In the evening, Israel waits in terror, but by dawn, its enemies are dead. This is the just reward of those who plunder and destroy the people of God. Destruction is certain for the land of Ethiopia, which lies at the headwaters of the Nile. Its winged sailboats glide along the river, and ambassadors are sent in fast boats down the Nile. Go home, swift messengers. Take a message to your land, divided by rivers, to your tall, smooth-skinned people, who are feared far and wide for their conquests and destruction. When I raise my battle flag on the mountain, let all the world take notice. When I blow the trumpet, listen, for the Lord has told me this. I will watch quietly from my dwelling place, as quietly as the heat rises on a summer day, or as the dew forms on an autumn morning during the harvest. Even before you begin your attack, while your plans are ripening like grapes, the Lord will cut you off as though with pruning shears. He will snip your spreading branches. Your mighty army will be left dead in the fields for the mountain birds and wild animals to eat. The vultures will tear at corpses all summer. The wild animals will gnaw at bones all winter. But the time will come when the Lord Almighty will receive gifts from this land divided by rivers, from this tall, smooth-skinned people who are feared far and wide for their conquests and destruction. They will bring the gifts to the Lord Almighty in Jerusalem, the place where his name dwells. Galatians 1:1-24. This letter is from Paul, an apostle. I was not appointed by any group or by human authority. My call is from Jesus Christ himself and from God the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. All the brothers and sisters here join me in sending greetings to the churches of Galatia. May grace and peace be yours from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. That is why all glory belongs to God through all the ages of eternity. Amen. I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who in his love and mercy called you to share the eternal life he gives through Christ. You are already following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who twist and change the truth concerning Christ. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including myself, who preaches any other message than the one we told you about. Even an angel comes from heaven and preaches any other message. Let him be forever cursed. I will say it again. If anyone preaches any other gospel than the one you welcomed, let God's curse fall upon that person. Obviously, I'm not trying to be a people pleaser. No, I am trying to please God. If I were still trying to please people, I would not be Christ's servant. Dear brothers and sisters, I solemnly assure you that the good news of salvation which I preach is not based on mere human reasoning or logic, for my message came by a direct revelation from Jesus Christ himself. No one else taught me. You know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion, how I violently persecuted Christians. I did my best to get rid of them. I was one of the most religious Jews of my own age, and I tried as hard as possible to follow all the old traditions of my religion. But then something happened where it pleased God in his kindness to choose me and call me. Even before I was born. What undeserved mercy. Then he revealed his son to me so that I could proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. When all this happened to me, I did not rush out to consult with anyone else, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to consult with those who were apostles before I was. No, I went away into Arabia and later returned to the city of Damascus. It was not until 3 years later that I finally went to Jerusalem for a visit with Peter and stayed there with him for 15 days. And the only other apostle I met at that time was James, our Lord's brother. You must believe what I am saying, for I declare before God that I am not lying. Then, after this visit, I went north into the provinces of Syria and Cilicia. And still, the Christians in the churches in Judea did not know me personally. All they knew was that people were saying, the one who used to persecute us now preaches the very faith he tried to destroy. And they gave glory to God because of me. Psalm 58:1-11. Justice. Do you rulers know the meaning of the word? Do you judge the people fairly? No. All your dealings are crooked. You hand out violence instead of justice. These wicked people are born sinners. Even from birth, they have fled and gone their own way. They spit poison like deadly snakes. They are like cobras that refuse to listen, ignoring the tunes of the snake charmers, no matter how skillfully they play. Break off their fangs, O God. Smash the jaws of these lions, O Lord. May they disappear like water into thirsty ground. Make their weapons useless in their hands. May they be like snails that dissolve into slime, like a stillborn child who will never see the sun. God will sweep them away, both young and old, faster than a pot heats on an open flame. The godly will rejoice when they see injustice avenged. They will wash their feet in the blood of the wicked. Then at last everyone will say, there truly is a reward for those who live for God. Surely there is a God who judges justly here on earth. Proverbs 23:12. Commit yourself to instruction. Attune your ears to hear words of knowledge. I want to speak to you today from our reading in Isaiah, and then we're going to jump into the book of Galatians. In Isaiah, there was a particular verse that really jumped out at me today, and it is found in verse 5 of chapter 15, or actually chapter 16, where it says, when oppression and destruction have ceased and enemy raiders have disappeared, then David's throne will be established by love. From that throne, a faithful king will reign, one who always does what is just and right. This is a reference, a signpost, pointing us to Jesus Christ. Jesus is in the direct lineage of David, and it tells us that David's throne will be established by love. So when Jesus rules and reigns from Jerusalem, when he returns, his throne will be coming from Mount Zion, and it will be established from love, by love. And so this verse is speaking about a future king. From this throne, a faithful king will reign, one who always does what is just and right. So that is a signpost pointing us to the Messiah, pointing us to Jesus. So now I want to jump into Galatians. And the book of Galatians is written by Paul. He begins the book by establishing his apostolic authority, that his call did not come from any church or group or organization or synagogue or group of religious leaders, that his call is directly from Jesus Christ himself and from God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. And he says in verse 6, I am shocked that you are turning away so quickly from God, who in his love and mercy calls you to share the eternal life he gives through Christ. You are already following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who twist and change the truth concerning Christ. His book and his words could not be more relevant than they are right now, today. Basically, he is addressing the Galatians and saying, look, you've been bewitched. You have fallen from grace. This is a simple gospel. It's by faith that you're saved, not by works, so that no man will boast. You began in faith and you continue in faith. You do not earn God's favor by performance or by works or by doing religious things such as eating this kind of food and not eating that kind of food or doing this religious practice. Or, you know, he's coming against the spirit of religion, the spirit of works, the spirit of legalism. He's coming against all of that. And that does have a tendency to creep in into our churches and our congregations. It creeps in the Hebrew Roots Messianic Fellowships. It creeps into the mainstream Christian fellowships as well. Basically, he is strongly exhorting the Galatians to come back to the simplicity and the purity of walking by faith. It's all by grace, grace, grace. It's all Jesus did all of the work on the cross. And it's our job, the one job we have, is to believe on Jesus Christ and that he is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for our sins. We believe on him and then follow him and be filled with his Holy Spirit. So we cannot fall into the works mentality of working for our salvation, of trying to earn and perform our way into heaven. None of us is good enough. All have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. We are to walk in faith, come to him as humble, broken, repentant sinners, asking him to forgive us, asking him to give us a new life and a new heart that we might follow him in faith. We begin in faith and we continue in faith. So that's the setting, the context for who he's writing to and why he wrote the book of Galatians. We'll continue this tomorrow. Shalom.
Mareka Yahweh Adonai Panavilaka Vikuneka Isa Adonai Panav Hileka Vayaseh Leka Leka Shalom.
The Aaronic Blessing from Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26. Adonai bless you and keep you. Adonai make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Adonai lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.